Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose birthday we celebrate this evening, and also his return we await imminently. It is an amazing time, a great time to be together as families in church, to gather around candlelight and sing the hymns and carols that are familiar, to hear the Christmas story again, maybe for the first time, but also sometimes we hear it every year, and yet there's something that comes out of it that we maybe didn't hear the first time or the second time or the 45th time, but we hear it anew. And that's the wonder of the Christmas story, is that we can tell it all the time, every year, the same words out of Luke chapter 2 that we hear, and we know, you know, Charlie Brown Christmas, and Linus recites it, and that's the, you know, the Facebook meme that everybody talks about, because what's the true meaning of Christmas? Well, Linus knows it. You know, yeah, we can go that route and hear those words in his voice or our voice or somebody else's. But there's something new for us every year. Every year. It's always different when we gather together. When we gather together as a church, as God's people in this place, and we hear the same familiar stories. But there's something new. There's something different. Just like there is in decorations. Each year you go someplace to see decorations or see Christmas lights or something, and there's always something that's a little bit different. Maybe someone added something to their Christmas decorations. Maybe you added something to your Christmas decorations this year that wasn't there last year or the year before. Maybe some of you added a family member. Maybe a new baby, a new grandchild was added to your Christmas celebrations. Something new this year. Maybe one of you got married maybe, and now you've added not just a little bit of a family, but a whole lot of family has been added to your celebrations this year. There's always something a little bit different. Even though the words are the same, the story's the same, the people in the story are the same, there's always something that's just a little bit different. That's the way it is with God, though. He's never changing. He's always the same, and yet every time we encounter him, every time we experience him, every time he works in us or works around us, it's something new, something different. When Jesus was born as a baby in Bethlehem, as the King of Kings come in such a little tiny package, it was something different. It was something new. God had never done this before. He was trying something, sending his son to be born as one of us. See, this isn't the first time that God had entered into his creation, that he had come in contact with his people. He'd done it before. He'd done it as an angel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. If you don't know that story, I think we usually tell that around, oh, probably sometime in May, so you'll have to come back sometime in May to hear that story. But God enters into his creation over and over again throughout Scripture. He enters into his creation. So this isn't new in that sense, but it's new in the way that he does it. Because not only does he enter into his creation as one of us, flesh and blood human beings, he enters into his creation as an infant. He goes through the same process that we go through, the same development, the same growth that we go through. He enters into his creation just as one of us. He's never done that before. There's probably a good reason, because babies don't always live long in Bible times. He needed to be sure. He needed to be certain that this was the right time, in the right place, with the right people, for him to enter into his creation. It had to be all lined up perfectly. And so he does. And we hear the story once again of how he was born in a manger because there wasn't room for them in the inn. So his mother, Mary, wraps him up in whatever kind of rags they had laying around, and they put him in the trough. That's what a manger is. It's a place where they put stuff in order to feed the animals. So Jesus, the creator of the universe, the one who made the sun, the moon, and the stars, gets placed in a feed trough. Not very majestic. Not very exciting. Not very kingly. But certainly new. And then there's the shepherds hanging out there watching their sheep. It's nighttime and the angel shows up. Once again, it's not the first time angels have shown up. They do this often throughout Scripture. But this time, they have some announcement that's going to change the world. Not just for the shepherds, but for everybody, including you and me. This announcement that the angels make out there in the middle of the sheep pasture is that salvation, deliverance, freedom, in other words, freedom from our sins, freedom from all of the stuff that goes on in our lives that messes everything up. No matter how big or how little, all of that stuff. The angels announce that Jesus has been born to take care of that. He's come. He's come to deal with the stuff that we can't deal with. He's come to set us free from the stuff that we seem to not be able to break. He's come to save us. And as the angel says, this is really good news. This is the best news. This isn't just as some, you know, it's good news. Kind of like, you know, they're finishing construction on the highway at some point. Yeah, that's good news. It's not like that. This is the best news. This is even better news than it's a boy or it's a girl. This is better news than, hey, you never have to pay taxes again. Now that would be good news. This news is even better. This news comes through the angels to the shepherds that says, you don't have to be afraid of anything anymore. Jesus has come to take care of all of the things that would get in the way, that would hold us back, that would tie us down, that would chain us up. And then if that wasn't a good enough announcement, the angel chorus joins in. A multitude of the heavenly host. That's such a wonderful phrase that we have no idea what that means. It's a multitude of the heavenly host. Think about that for just a second. What in the world would that look like? I have no idea. I've seen the stars, the mountains, the northern lights. I've seen all of those wondrous things that we see in the heavens. But a multitude of the heavenly host. Angels upon angels upon angels upon angels. And they're all singing. Better than any earthly choir could ever achieve. Better than any earthly anything could ever do. And they're there to continue that announcement of the best news ever. This is something new. This is something exciting. This is something never before seen and never will be seen again. This is a one-time thing. That's what makes this night so incredibly special. It's not just that it's tradition. It's not just that it's decoration. It's not just that it's familiar hymns. This night is the announcement of the best news that you will ever hear. That Jesus was born for you. The angels say, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Unto you. In other words, he was born for you. Picture it being kind of thrown out there for you to catch. Not the baby, the announcement. for you to catch. This news of Jesus is for you. Catch it. Receive it. Hear it. And know that this thing that's happened, that we talk about every Christmas, that we read and hear, and that we sing about, and that we gather to celebrate, is the best news for you. This Jesus, this baby born, is the Savior of all people, including you, including me. So yeah, Christmas, we celebrate our Savior's birthday. And we gather in church today. And as a family, we celebrate this incredible gift. Amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and our minds, keeping us always in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.